This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and it's a Friday morning. It's time to catch up with John Letts, my horse racing expert. John, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm going pretty good, Jordan. I tell you what, not pushing the barrel, but last week we had a good week. We had, I think, three of them. One of them was $17 last week.
Oh, wow.
So we had a good week last week, but it's not like that all the time. Excuse me, it doesn't work like that all the time, but hopefully we can keep the punters happy this week, Jordan.
That's all that matters.
that's all that matters, and we can't do much damage with just $1 or $1 each way on them. Jordan, what do you think about this idea with the... good morning, Stirling North Girls. I'll be up around your way soon to the Port Augusta Cup, which is the Squatters Cup coming up soon. What do you think about this business? Kick the ball into the crowd and no one's allowed to touch it if it goes into the crowd. Now, I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life. What if they kick it out on the wing?
I mean, yeah, I feel like they did backtrack that a little bit because, yeah, they got a lot of jokes aimed their way because it is one of the stupidest things that have been said about around public health to date. Don't touch the footy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Ridiculous.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was good to have a laugh. That was nice.
Yeah, but Jordan, tell me this. Okay, they said if the ball's coming towards you, you should avoid it.
Yes.
Okay, but now what if there's a little kid sitting behind you?
Yeah, well, you'd just let him get falconed.
Yeah. Well, the kid gets belted with it. Because there was one recently, there was one of the kids at a footy game, the ball went in the crowd and hit him in the face.
Yeah, I saw it was a bloke who held up his younger brother to catch the ball and the ball smacked him in the face as well. It's just, you know, kids are durable, though. They can handle a footy to the face. That's not my official parenting advice, but...
No, I wouldn't think they're not going home with a broken nose.
No.
And they're not going slow, them balls. They're not coming straight down. They're coming straight at you.
Yeah.
And they kick with a lot of pressure behind them. So, no, that's a no-brainer, that is.
And of course...
The no-brainer is having the game. That's my idea on it.
Yeah, SA Health have said if you do touch the ball, just make sure you wipe your hands or you sanitise your hands afterwards just to be safe. But that's like anything because, you know, it's even if it wasn't for COVID-19, the football has how many people touch it and they're all sweaty and gross and all sorts. So it's probably just smart enough to disinfect yourself after touching a football anyway.
Yeah, tell me how many people are taking disinfectant.
Yeah, that's the other thing. How many people do?
How stupid is this? This is ridiculous running this game. They should be. We're inviting a team from one of the hottest spots in Australia with COVID. We're inviting a team into Adelaide. Oh, we'll bring them over and we'll just fly them in and we'll fly them out. Doesn't take much to spread it around.
Mm. And I guess if they haven't tested positive yet, it's still like it could be a few more days before they do test positive.
Exactly.
We can only assume that it is safe. But of course, it's the people in the crowd and the Adelaide Crows themselves who are really in the firing line.
Yep. Is football more important than our health?
I mean, if we anything from last year was to be proved, yes.
yeah. That's right. That's what they put. But or is money? Money more important than our health, and that's the whole thing. It's just, in my opinion, it's greed. Anyway, get away from that. We'll get away from that. Let them make those stupid decisions, which I think is ridiculous. I think if you had a vote, I think you'd have most people would say we don't want the virus brought here, and it's just, well, you don't know where it is. It's airborne. Okay, Naomi Osaka at Roland Garros.
Yeah, I know she's a favourite of yours.
She's my favourite. She's the best player in the world. And I think I was told this 3 years ago by a tennis coach that Naomi Osaka will be the best player in the world for years to come. She earned $50 million a year last year, more than any other tennis player. And you know who's going to miss out on this? Tennis is going to miss out on this. The world tennis, because she won't be at Roland Garros. And you can understand this. You're in media. We're in media. The media asks stupid questions. We watch them at football. Have a look at halftime at football sometimes and after the game. Some of the stupid questions they ask the players. And I don't blame Naomi Osaka. I'll miss watching her because she's my favourite player. But I blame the media half of this. Well, you've got to blame the media because that's who she's blaming, isn't she?
Mm. Yeah, and like if a player doesn't want to talk to the media, just like anyone who doesn't want to talk to the media, you can't force them. No one is... You know, no one has a right to your time. No one has a right to what you have to say. You can't force someone to talk to you. You know,
exactly.
You can only get comment if they're willing to give it to you. So if she doesn't want to do a press conference, she doesn't want to do a press conference. Just let her play tennis is what she's there for.
Well, tennis is going to miss out.
Yes, and that's the real loser here because now she's out of the title.
She's got $50 million that she can go on a holiday to for the next 10 years if she wants to. This is another thing. Out of the paper, I am not a Port fan, but the Guernsey it wore it on the weekend has to be the best one so far. I liked it. I didn't mind it too much. Did you?
Oh, the Aboriginal round. Liked it. It was interesting drama behind it, as it was a plagiarised design, but I'm glad that the original artist said it was okay as long as the proceeds went to the right place.
Exactly. And tell me this, Jordan, because you're an umpire at the footy.
Yes.
And someone has wrote in from West Lakes and they said, how much longer do we have to put up with the inept bouncing of the ball by AFL umpires? Just get rid of it and throw the ball up.
Yeah, I've never understood the bounce because it is so inconsistent, and just throwing the ball up, you get just as much height. It goes straight a lot more often than not. I don't understand the bounce other than it's tradition to do so. It's hard to get right, and really it's just for show-offs. It doesn't actually improve the game at all.
It doesn't, this is a question that I've wanted to be asked you each week, and I forgot to ask you, but when you bounce the ball, does the clock start then?
So, yes, the clock starts from as soon as the umpire blows his whistle.
Okay, so that means that if it's a recall, you could have lost 1 or 2 seconds. Now, how many games have been won in the last 1 or 2 seconds?
Yeah, but if it comes down to a couple of seconds, like, you've got a whole other 2 hours worth of game before then to have made an impact, made a difference. So if it comes down to the last 2 seconds and you lose it, that's on you, I think.
Yeah, it's on you, but, I mean, that shouldn't be. That's adding time that gives the other team, if the other team gives them an advantage. I mean, say it bounces the ball, the other night there, who was one of it, one of the guys kicked 6 or 7 goals, and you put that down to take 2 seconds that he makes a mistake bouncing the ball 7 times. That's 14 seconds in the last quarter.
Mm.
Now, to me, throw the ball up, how many seconds do you lose? None.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they replaced the bounce with a throw up from here on out. I wouldn't be mad about that at all because it's just a lot simpler and a lot quicker and a lot easier as well. Less chance of the ball bouncing up and hitting you in the face as well, John.
Exactly. But that's another thing with the AFL. But they'll work it out one day. But when they've got time to sit back and not just sit back and relax up in their corporate boxes, and I'll think of something to help the public and the game. But anyway, this is what I wanted to bring up. I see there was a bloke in the paper during the week, a guy at Lobethal, up here in the Adelaide Hills, fined $2,300 for a low-grade speeding offence. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, $2,300. He's a businessman. He drives his own truck, and he's only a battler, looks. And the fee is waived if the business owner nominates a driver who takes the demerit points for the offence. Well, this guy attempted to name himself as the driver, but says his application was rejected because his form was filled out incorrectly. He was also hit with late fees, bringing the total penalty to more than $2,300. Now, tell me this, Jordan. We got a street over here called Cliff Street, and it runs down by the Morford Arms here in Adelaide. We've got Bray Street. At each end of those streets, there's no sign to say it's 50 kilometres. I know this rubbish about all the junk that they throw around. Oh, if it's not, the street hasn't got a sign on it, it's only 50. Now, what happens to all this money? What's wrong with putting up 50 kilometres an hour at the end of each of these streets? They're a mile long or more. And because I know people that live around the area and people that don't live around here, they come into that street halfway along. Now, they don't know whether there's a sign up the end of the street says 50 or 60. Why don't they put the 50s up there and give at least people a bit of a chance to know? I come in at Cliff Street halfway along it, and if I didn't live there, I would think it's a wide open street. It's a mile long. It runs down here by the Morfordville Racecourse. I would just automatically sit on 60.
Yeah, it's one of those things like... it's one of those things like if you want people to drive safely, you got to let them know what they need to do to drive safely. So put a sign up.
Well, put a sign up. Yeah, where's all this money go to?
Yeah, well, not fixing up the roads in most cases, it seems.
Yeah, it's not. I tell you what, Jordan, it's not putting signs up to let people know that they shouldn't do it.
No, exactly.
I feel sorry, my post office guy got fined the other day, and the street, that I know the street, and honestly, why they haven't got a sign up there has just got me going. As you say, it's revenue raising. Anyway, let's get to the races. You get governments and footy clubs and... We talk about them every week, but they are a frustrating group. Anyway, Morphettville tomorrow. In race one, Jordan, this horse only got beat half head the other day, and we had it in Strike Award. Race one, number two at Morphettville, it's about $3. Race two, I like number two, Great Diviner, it's about $6. Race three, a horse called Gollier Otis, is about $5. Race four, number one, I Tilt. Number one, race four, number one is $5. Race five, number two, Star of Humour. This is pretty short. It's only even money. Race six, number two, Bramavi the Hero, $5. Race seven, number five, Poised to Reign, $5. Race eight, number nine, Highly Discreet is $4. And race nine, number seven, horse called Ciardi is about $6, one of the interstate visitors. We shoot over to Flemington, which is a great day again. Jamie Carr's got a great card of books tomorrow, you know, great card. And she'll ride two or three winners again tomorrow. In race one, I've tipped her to win with number race one, number two, Grand Promenade. It's only about $2. Race two, number three, Snickle Doodle Dandy. Now, how would you like to be a race caller, Jordan? Snickle Doodle Dandy.
That one's just it's a bit long, but it's a fun one to say at least, Snickle Doodle Dandy.
It's a fun one. Well, there was one called Why Kick a Moo Cow once too. So, anyway, in race three, number six, I like Mr. Tipner. He's about $17, this horse. Race four, number seven, I like in this, a horse called Argentia, $7. This is the race, Jordan, that everybody's been waiting for. There's a horse in this called Invincible Caviar. It's by I Am Invincible out of Black Caviar. And, of course, you remember her.
Mm.
It's having its first start. It will be very, very popular with punters. We don't know much about it. Won a barrier trial, but I'm going with a horse called Argentia. Race five, number three, Yulong January, $4. Race six, number nine, Sweet 16 is about $21. Dean Yenrell to ride. Race seven, number three, Ruba is $4. Race eight, number one, Montresera, got a lot of weight, but still $7. And in the last, I like number nine, a horse called Maserati Bay is $10. So anyhow, go through them very, very quickly. Race one at Flemington, number two. Race two, number three. Race three, number six. Race four, number four. Race five, number three. Race six, number nine. Race seven, number three. Race 8, number 1. Race 9, number 9. Morphettville, race 1, number 2. Race 2, number 2. Race 3, number 5. Race 4, number 1. Race 5, number 2. Race 6, number 2. Race 7, number 5. Race 8, number 9. Race 9, number 7. Gamble responsibly, and hopefully we have another day like we did last week. Oh, just before you go, just tell me this. What's your thoughts on this? High house prices, record house prices in Adelaide.
Okay? Yes.
You've got a house and you get a record house price for it, don't you?
Yes.
At the moment, they're spooking this. How much does it cost you to buy another one? Just as dear again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just buying the first one is probably expensive enough for most Australians.
Yeah, yeah. But you sell it, you make a profit. But you go out and buy another one, you've got to pay just as much again. You've got to pay inflated prices again, don't you?
Yeah, but that's, I guess, why the property market is best suited to people who already have a lot of money.
yes, I would say that's the right way. That is the right way. Yep.
So there's a lot of people who, you know, on very modest incomes who are very much shut out of the market at the moment because of these record house prices. So it's great for investors, sure, but for families looking to buy a first property.
That's for the ordinary people like us because, you know, and I can see it getting that much tougher every year for the young groups coming on now, the young couples coming on, make it so hard for them. And I mean, there's a lot of money. You're looking at house prices now around about the $700,000 and $1 million prices. That's a lot of money.
And there was like some properties in like Sydney that sold for $600,000 more than what they were advertised at.
Yeah.
So it's getting pretty bad.
It's getting out of hand.
That's for sure. Well, actually, and talk about out of hand, we're also out of time. John, thank you so much for chatting today.
Thank you, Jordan, and I'll speak to you next week.
Will do. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic It's Breakfast.